Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Braja
Jana Ranjana. Vanachari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
We got an address.
Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Jai Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Astasaki ki jai, Shishi Radha Madhava ki jai, Chitanya Chandraya Mandir ki jai. Narayanam namaskrityam.
Narayanam namaskrityam.
Naram chaiva narotamam.
Naram chaiva narotamam.
Devam sarasvatim vyasam.
Devam sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jayam udiraye.
Tato jayam udiraye.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, and as far as I understand, it's 1943? That's correct?
Correct. That's correct. 1943.
Okay. Goodness. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Krishna evang Bhagavati.
Krishna evang Bhagavati.
Okay.
Mano vag drishti vrittibhi.
Mano vag drishti vrittibhi.
Atmani atmanam aveshya.
Atmani atmanam aveshya.
Sontah shvasa uparamat.
Sonta shvasa uparamat.
Bolie.
Pushkarji.
Pushkarji,
you can go first, Prabhuji. Okay, maybe we'll come back in. Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Krishna evang Bhagavati.
Manovag
drishti vrittibhi.
Manovag drishti vrittibhi.
Atmanyatmanam avishya.
Atmanyatmanam avishya.
Sonta shvasa uparamat.
Sonta shvasa uparamat. Krishna evang Bhagavati.
Krishna evang Bhagavati.
Manova drishti vrittibhi.
Manova drishti vrittibhi.
Atmanyatmanam avesya.
Atmanyatmanam avesya.
Sontavasvasuparamat.
Sonta shvasa uparamat.
Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Krishna evam Bhagavati.
Krishna evam Bhagavati.
Manova drishti vrittibhi.
Manova drishti vrittibhi.
Atmani atmanam avesha.
Atmani atman avesha.
Santa shvasa uparamat.
Santa shvasa uparamat.
Hi, Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Goswami said.
Sutta Goswami said.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Evam.
Evam.
Only.
Only.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Manaha.
Manaha.
With mind.
With mind.
Vak.
Vak.
Speech.
Speech. Speech.
Drishti.
Drishti.
Sight.
Sight.
Sight. Sight.
Vrittabhi.
Vrittabhi.
Activities.
Activities.
Atmani.
Atmani.
Unto the super soul.
Unto the super soul.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
The living being.
The living being.
Avesha.
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 Having merged in.
Having merged in.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
And Bhishmadev.
Anta,
antaha svasaha.
Antaha svasaha.
Inhaling.
Inhaling.
Uparamat.
Uparamat.
Became silent.
Became silent. Okay, so Prabhu, especially those that are on Skype right now, could you please mute yourselves so that Hanuman Prashik Swami won't have to compete with other noises? So thank you very much, Bruce. Please mute.
Yes. Now Hanuman Prashik Swami can be the only noise. There we go. Yeah, translation. Sudha Goswami said, thus Bhishmadev merged himself in the super soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions. And thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Nice. That was purport. The stage attained by Bhishmadev while quitting his material body is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, because he merged his self into thinking of the Lord, and his mind into remembering his different activities. He chanted the glories of the Lord, and by his sight he began to see the Lord personally present before him. And thus all his activities became concentrated upon the Lord without deviation. This is the highest stage of perfection, and it is possible for everyone to attain this stage by practice of devotional service. The devotional service of the Lord consists of 9 principles of service, activities. They are hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshiping, praying, executing the orders, fraternizing, and fully surrendering. Any one of them or all of them are equally competent to award the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee. There's a really super sentence. The first item, hearing, is the most important item of all. And therefore, hearing of the Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential of the serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bhishmadev at the end. The unique situation at Bhishmadev's time of death can be attained even though Lord Krishna may not be personally present. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of Arshima Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord. They are sound incarnations of the Lord, and one can fully utilize them to be entitled to attain the stage of Bhishmadev, who was one of the eight Vasus. Every man or animal must die at a certain stage of life, but one who dies like Bhishmadev attains perfection, and one who dies forced by the laws of nature dies like an animal. That is the difference between a man and an animal. The human form of life is especially meant for dying. So it's very nice to be here again. Actually, before we were listening to the classes, you know, most every day, but we have moved from Tennessee, our kind of office there, and now we're down in Houston, Texas, and we haven't been able to access so much every day. So I don't know how the classes have been going. And we're going to go to Mexico for the weekend and come back here. Trying to travel now, traveling and preaching. So a couple of things impressed me. One thing, of course, is just a general perspective, you know, on the on this verse, because, you know, first off, of course, in this chapter, it's describing the historical scene that Yudhishthira is coming with the Pandavas to see Bhishmadev, who is about to leave his body. Yeah. And so he then first off, you know, pacifies their confusion about their situation, their Varna Ashram situation, acting properly as a king. His bad karma is going to come upon me, like that. And maybe even being not acting properly as a devotee of Krishna, to allow all of Krishna's parts and parcels to have died like this. But in any case, Yudhishthira had a lot of anxiety after the battle, after all these things had happened. Yeah. And of course, we face the same things. We have hellish fights, you know, amongst people like verbal and we call it social conflicts. And I guess everybody has these in their family, in their work, in your community. And sometimes you wonder, like, well, you and your friends came out okay, we won or whatever. But, you know, there's so many disturbances and so many people have left and everything else, and you wonder, my gosh, did I really do the right thing? Yeah. And so that's what Bhishmadev gave Yudhishthira the basis for deciding that, yes, even though it was such a ghastly affair, you know, you did the right thing. Yeah. And then after that, then he says, all right, I'm going to become the king. So by Krishna's request, and Bhishmadev began to describe the Varna Ashram. Okay, create a proper environment, free from the catastrophe, proper daily activities and environment. Okay, and now then we can go even more internal. And of course, we're describing that Bhishmadev is engaging in Lila Smaranam. He's, you know, he's chanting, reciting different pastimes of Krishna, and this is to stimulate. This is what this is, vibhava, yeah, to stimulate his feeling, his sthayi bhava, his relationship with Krishna, and to raise it up to a point of intensity, you know, where again, where he can be sufficiently intensely focused on Krishna that his mind won't have any space for any kind of attraction to Krishna's external energy, like that. And so these prayers go on until, I guess, number 42, which was yesterday. And there he said, now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord, Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality. in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even in the hearts of middle speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. So Isopanishad says the same thing, though, that one who sees that Ishvara everywhere in all things, there's no need to see anybody as an enemy. There's no fear or greed for him. It's just like, again, you give the example, like somebody who's afraid that his left hand is going to choke him to death. My left hand is out to get me. So he keeps like a hammer in his right hand, and every now and again he smashes his left hand and says, I know you. I'm watching you. I think this guy's mad. You know? Yeah. So the same way, once we realize that we transcend this duality of different people, different bodies, and we realize, no, everybody's part and parcel of Krishna. So whether they're doing it directly or indirectly, everybody's serving Krishna. And that's what I'm trying to do too. You know? And so therefore, everybody should be successful. You know? And I have no fear of what people are doing with that. And Prabhupada said, this is only possible, this point of view in the Isopanishad. He says, this view is only possible for a devotee. First he says, Uttamadhikari. Then he says, Madhyamadhikari. Like that. So Uttamadhikari spontaneously can see how everybody ultimately is a devotee. And Madhyamadhikari, by using his intelligence and stopping and thinking, he can see, okay, yeah, this guy's a young guy. So he'd come to that position. And now then today's prayer is, thus Bhishmadev merged himself in the super soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions, thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. And tomorrow, knowing that Bhishmadev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Like that. So it's a success story. Yeah. And a couple points I just thought of myself here. One, of course, is the idea that, you know, Atmani Atmanam, that this whole emerging thing, Prabhupada doesn't talk about it much in the purport, but usually whenever these kind of things come up, Prabhupada makes it very clear, probably the Acharyas too, that, you know, merging into the super soul doesn't mean to become one with the super soul. You know? Rather, it means to have no separate interest like that. You know? I got a book right now by Paul F. Knitner, Knitter, and he's the Paul Tillich Professor of Theology and World Religions and Culture at Union Theological Seminary, New York City. And as far as I know, it's one of the most powerful American seminaries and, you know, exists. So the book was recommended to me by one gentleman here in Houston. We're going to try to do a program with them. It's for the Center for Health and Spirituality at the Houston Medical Center, which is a really powerful organization. A lot of doctors, doctors naturally, there is some interest in health and spirituality. So the title of the book by Paul Knitner is, Without Buddha, I Could Not Be a Christian. So I'm reading part of it, and this is very contemporary thinking, you know. So he says, to experience, this is page 19, to experience and believe in a Trinitarian God is to experience and believe in a God who is not, as Tillich would say, the ground of being, but the ground of interbeing. God is the activity of giving and receiving, of knowing and loving, of losing and finding, of dying and living, that embraces and infuses all of us, all of creation. Though every image or symbol limps, Christians can and must say what the Buddhists might agree with, that if we're going to talk about God, God is neither a noun nor an adjective. God is a verb. Verb. With the word God, we're trying to get at an activity that is going on everywhere, rather than a being that exists somewhere. God is much more an environment than a thing. Shy. So, to some degree, other presentations I've seen, their complaint is valid, that the God is up in heaven, he's got a gray beard, varicose veins, and he doesn't really deal with the earth much, he sets it in motion, okay, you know. So that kind of materialistic idea of God as a person, yeah, we object to that. You know? So then one tries for Upanishadic thing of, you know, of seeing him as, you know, all pervasive and these kind of things. You know? But in general, sometimes the tendency is like that, that, you know, becoming God conscious means to forget my individuality and become one with the whole scene and dance with the cosmic dance and all this kind of stuff like that. You know? But the problem, of course, you know, that's Brahman. Brahman is like that. Brahman always exists. It's Sat. You know, it's all pervading and has no beginning, no middle, no end. You know? But the thing is that in the first canto, second chapter, there is this comment, Nashobate. Without the idea of an infallible hero, then the whole thing is not Shobate. That's not brilliant. Jaya Jaya Gora Chander Arotika Shobha. Yeah, it's true, you know, but it's not brilliant. And the soul has this aesthetic quality. So therefore we're not satisfied with this kind of thing. You can't say it's false and God is everywhere and God is beyond the time factor. But to not have a personal relationship with him, then that's the problem. So Vishnudeva's whole technique was his whole point of Lila Shmaranam. It was a very personal technique. Right? And we can actually experience that it actually works. So in the purport, you know, of course, in the text it says, let's see, mana vak drishta ritta bihi, mind, word, intelligence, these things. So in the purport, Prabhupada's, you know, just highlighting this fact that devotional service means hearing, chanting, and especially hearing is so important, he says. Yeah. Any one of them or all of them are equally competent to award the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee. The first item, hearing, is the most important item of all, and therefore hearing of Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for the serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bishudev at the end. Yeah. So that one sentence there really stands out to me. You know, first thing is that with this merging, I'm going to make this point that this merging thing is still a very active and prominent discussion amongst so-called Christians. You know, that, you know, and other people too, you know, varying degrees, they have this idea. You know. And so there's a lot of this basic work to understand how God can be a person. He has he has no hands, but he controls everything. He has no legs, but he runs faster than everybody. He never leaves his abode, but he knows everything. Yeah, this is, Upanishads are necessary for a kind of people who are totally, what's the word, distraught because of material ideas of God and reality. Yeah. So impersonalism, you know. But somehow or other, if we can get the basic idea across by good kirtan and good prasadam and animate people by good Krishna katha, by personal association, by friendship, you know, then they can get a little taste right away of some non-material, you know, personal relationship. You know? And then especially how to do this, you know, Prabhupada's saying here, any one of them, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee. So we have the different levels of the ladder, you know, to success from this world on up. And of course, Patanjali has his system, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, Nepali Samadhi. And Prabhupada says, for every technique in the Ashtanga Yoga system, there's a corresponding technique in the Bhakti Yoga system. Like if you actually should dance, you should play the drum or kartals and dance. And of course, obviously, that adjusts the prana and gets the different knots out of our body, you know, tactile body, and get free. And we can chant with an open throat, yeah, kirtan. So everything happens when you follow the process properly. Adoshtrada, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishta. So a little preliminary faith, this might be good. And then starting to hang out with these people, read what their acharya has to say. And then, you know, actually becoming a formal student, matriculate. And then becoming steady. Bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, bad habits go away, distractions go away, nishta. You know? So I kind of say that's maybe what we're talking about here. What must be practiced persistently. We have to have regular sadhana. We have to have a regular schedule. You know, sankhya purvaka nama gana natabi. The six Goswamis, they would divide their time up. We chanting, dancing, singing, you know. And so that's a whole sophisticated thing, because different people have different bodies, different schedules, and the world is always changing in many ways. So very, very, very prominent aspect of Vaidhi Bhakti, to my comprehension, is building up a pretty, you know, sophisticated system of hearing and chanting. Because like, you know, like now, I couldn't talk on Friday because we're traveling, so we rescheduled it. And we're discovering, using teleconferencing, you know, for our Bhakti by Baba program, that actually WebEx, it costs $40 a month, but it's like about six times better than Skype, like that. So much control, you can show documents, you can record the whole thing automatically, so many nice things, you know. Also better telecommunication because of the system. Okay, so this is all an integral part of how to be persistently engaged in hearing and chanting. So nishta. You know? And we have to come to this point of having a regular intense program all the time. You know? When Mataji in San Jose, the Gandharvika, she has a ladies group, and every day during lunch they're all working ladies. They all have a conference call, same thing, and they read a few verses together and discuss them like that, you know. So, you know, 24 hours a day, you know. Yeah, there's a book called Conscious Dreaming, and basically his idea is that, this is what we're talking about, is that right before you go to sleep, you get the kind of mood and humor that you want to get going. So if you go to the last artik, the Shayana artik, and chant, you know, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, and very melodious and relaxed, you know, hot milk, Krishna book, then you're in that bhava, you're in that perspective, that attitude, that intelligence. And his basic idea is that then you give the boat a little push, and then you're going to be, you know, dreaming in that direction. And it actually took you know, seen it works. When you come back up to the dreaming stage, from a shushupti, deep sleep, up to the dreaming stage, then you're actually a little bit conscious of what's going on. So in a halfway, you know, ability, you can push your boat in a certain direction. You can dream about certain things, you know, think about certain things like that. Yeah. So even if we're sleeping then, 24 hours a day, you know, of course, we can be Krishna conscious like that. Yeah. Yeah. And as you become more purified from tamagun, then actually, it's, you know, we don't really, our intelligence never really falls in the mode of ignorance. Then, our intelligence is always keeping the mind engaged, you know, properly in pastime, lila smaranam, all these things like that. So we have to come to this platform: adoshvada, sadhu sangha, vajna kriya, anartha nivritti, nishta. Yeah. Ruchi, and then taste. So it says must be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee of the Lord. Yeah. So So in some ways, in the beginning, we don't need expert guidance. You join the temple, and not even the temple. Usually when people joined in San Francisco, when I was joining, the Bhakta program was Jayananda, nothing formal. But it was just, or in the ashram, so some brahmana would show you how to put on tilak, how to dress, what's the schedule, which songs to memorize, where are the song books, how to hold your beads. So it's expert up to the level of your necessity, but it's not that you have to have Srila Prabhupada's association. I've actually had that. It was a big argument with one devotee saying that, well, now that Prabhupada has left, we have to all take shelter of some of these godbrothers of Prabhupada because they're uttamadhikaris. And without this expert guidance, you can't make progress. But in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says, just by associating with the devotees of ISKCON, the members of ISKCON, one can fully revive his Krishna consciousness. So you have to appreciate, different devotees are on different levels. And they're expert up to a certain level. But if we come to this point of nishta, then the next level is ruchi. So also again, upadeshamrita, shatnama Krishna, charitadi, sitapiya vidya. So text number 7 talks about this first stage of getting free from this material attachment, anartunavritti, sambandha, establishing our relationship with Krishna. In text number 8, same thing. Tannama, rupa, chari, same thing. You go on chanting, you go on seeing the deity, you go on reading the Krishna book. But now, at a different level. So then it's coming to the point of raganuga. And one must serve Krishna under the guidance of an expert devotee. Like that. So here, the expert devotee, I would say, can be taken at the stage of, a beginning, Vaidhi Bhakti, but also where we've got the fruit of Vaidhi Bhakti of actually being liberated from the intense pressures and anxieties and doubts and things that Maya sends at us. And we're always feeling that Krishna's benefiting from our service, that Prabhupada's happy what we're doing. But now that we have to intensify. And maybe a lot of people are at that level where you're engaged 24 hours a day, or maybe 23, 20, 22, But the next thing is has to intensify. One example maybe I gave this before is like a time management guy. He was part of a course for these managers for one corporation. He went there and he pulled a big glass jar out, maybe 2 feet tall. And then he put these big rocks inside. And he asked his 20 executives in the class, is it full? And they said, yeah, it seems to be. So he pulled a jar of very fine sand out. He started pouring it and shaking it and pouring it and shaking it. And the sand, filled in the cracks and went up to the top. Now the guys should be getting a little... And students are becoming a little bit interested. And he said, is it full now? And they said, yeah, okay, we see what you're talking about. Now it's full. And he said, no, it's not. So now you pulled a jar of water out. Okay, God bless you. And poured all the water in there and went up to the top. And he asked again, is it full now? And one of the guys said, well, it seems full to me, but I don't know where you're going. Maybe you got some other idea. So he said, as far as I know, it's full to me too. So the point is that you can always keep adding things like that, intensifying. And we have to do that. But the guy said, but first off, get the big rocks in first. So I would say, our program of serious hearing and chanting and systematic hearing and chanting, which Prabhupada always talks about, systematic. Hearing and chanting will always have an effect. Eating will always have an effect. But if you eat systematically, the effect will be much better. So, full morning and evening program, right? Chant 16 rounds, follow the 4 principles. And then reading about Krishna will be so much more effective than engaging in the sacrifice, chanting 16 nice rounds, follow the 4 principles. And full morning and evening program. Get up an hour and a half before sunrise, buy a rooster, keep them in your bedroom. Yeah. Put your alarm clock across the room by the light. Put a glass of water there. Clear the pathway. When your alarm clock goes off, you can't reach the snooze alarm, so you've got to stagger across the room. You turn the light on, and there's a glass of water there, and you have enough intelligence to drink it. Then you go wash your hands and everything, and by then you're starting to feel awake. You know, okay, sit up, some austerity. You know? But you can do it, and after some time you begin to feel, and there's no distraction. The banks haven't opened yet. The bars don't open. You know, passion and ignorance are not manifest. And so we engage in systematic hearing and chanting in the morning. And then when we engage in our Varna Ashram activities during the daytime or different kinds of sankirtan, it's based on this pure hearing and chanting. And we can keep a persistent program going all day. We start to get a taste. And then because we're getting a little taste, then we can start Raga Nuga Bhakti. Now we can try and imitate the indication of an advanced devotee. It's like, for example, you can play the piano, you're practicing your scales. And your teacher says, come on, I'll play on the violin with you. So you're playing along with him, and he's putting in some real feeling and expression, and you're really getting into it. It's nice, So you can't do it by yourself, but with his association, you can actually get that feel, that taste and stuff. So Ruchi, then Raga Nuga. And then, of course, it's more intense. And then Asakti, so we become addicted. And then Bhava. So at the point of Bhava, there's no more Maya. Maya may be presenting herself to Bhishma Dev in the option of so many heavenly situations. But when Bhava is there, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andakar Nahan Krishna Tahan Yahi Nahi Mayara Adikar. Then it's like dark and light, She's there like with Maharaj Bharata, but she can't exert any influence. So Bhava Bhakti means green mango. It's a mango. We know what it is now, exactly what it is, no doubt. But it's just not relishable. So Bhava Bhakti means now, to increase the intensity to such a point that Krishna can appreciate us. So first off, smartavya sadatam vishnor vismartavya najatu chit sarva vedi nisedayor etayor eva kinkaraha. Aha, I remember that. Kinkaraha. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. All the vaidhi bhakti, all the rules and regulations are servants of this rule. That's the whole purpose, always remembering Krishna. And then that smarnam has to then become more intense and more broad. And then by unceasing, broad, intense Krishna smarnam, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smarnam, we actually can remember our swarup like that. So that's my thoughts about the verse here, about merging. And then about this, hearing properly, from different devotees, and especially from Prabhupada, and in proportion in the center. Yeah. And then expert guidance. Hrishikeshananda, he was with Prabhupada, I guess it was in Bombay, Mother Narayani said she was transcribing the Nectar of Instruction there. And Hrishikeshananda was coming. And then I was looking at, he has some recollections of that days on the internet. And he actually kind of pushed Prabhupada to do the Upadesham. She said he kind of pushed him, and he writes that his Prabhupada agreed. But in any case, oh my goodness, it's so nice that we have Prabhupada's Upadesham Rita translation commentary. So anyway, he said at one point he asked Prabhupada about taking Siddha Pranali initiation. And about maybe Prabhupada wouldn't be, he wanted to take it now or something, and Prabhupada said, I will give it to you sometime. But he said, well, Prabhupada, what if you're not here, in the future like that? Then Prabhupada said, it does not depend upon physical presence. When you are ready, whether I am here or not, I will give it to you. Very intense, Some people award Siddha Pranali before people have come to this point of asaktis, you know, I mean, well, before Uguchi, before you can really appreciate, you know, this Raganduga Bhakti. It's our understanding. But Prabhupada's saying, no, you're already beyond this level of the gross body. Now you're on the psychological level, the Paramatma, Paramatma Lok, and you're feeling Krishna's presence. The books show up at the right time. People come. Life experiences are giving you a lesson, exactly what you need. You know? So this is that level, you know, of Raganuga Bhakti. And then this, you know, the Lila Smartam has a real penetrating effect at that point, and then we can start to wake up. So in our Bhakti Bhai Bhava program, we're trying to organize this. Oh, my goodness, I'm dying. It's so incredible trying to be a student, a professor, and an administrator all at the same time and do a couple more projects. You know, I'm actually can't handle it all. You know? But I can see what it is. It's a matter of intensification. Probably not that I should give up too much, but it's more that I just got to intensify my time so that everything I'm doing, you know, does four or five things at the same time. So we're just finishing off, I think it was chapter 6, Vyasadeva's instructions. And so, Narada Muni's instructions. So there it finishes, and Narada Muni finishes with an example of his life. You know, same as Vishnudeva's kind of giving an example here of how to die. So Narada Muni shows how he developed this through his whole life. And the purport, Prabhupada says, here we have a nice summary of the whole process from the example of Narada Muni's life. You know? He says, but there are many intricacies and different ways about going about it. And Vyasadeva will develop these in the following texts of Srimad Bhagavatam, one after another. Okay. So, because otherwise you think, well, my goodness, why go beyond Rupa Deshamrita? Why go beyond Bhagavad Gita? Why go beyond the first two cantos? You know? So many things there. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's all there. But now we're going to look at it from different directions, different perspectives, and different little problems we have, different little hang-ups that we have, suddenly is going to pop out when we read one story. Ah, that's it. Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. I forgot what it is now, but I remember that. Oh, yeah, I was looking at Encyclopedia Britannica, and I looked up Krishna, and it had this exactly all these things that Prabhupada talks about. Krishna was a black dude who lived in the forest and had a lot of girlfriends, and his cult got merged into the cult of Vasudeva Krishna. And it's Encyclopedia Britannica. You know? And they're talking all these points that Prabhupada is always arguing about these things. And so when I read that, suddenly all these different times I've heard Prabhupada arguing about these things all clicked together, you know, because this is exactly what he's talking about. Maybe even have read the Encyclopedia Britannica. You know? So like that, my goodness, always, you know, different very practical realizations and advancements and mercy, more mercy coming from Krishna. Okay? Getting more and better, tighter association by internet, by telephone, by letters, you know, by physical association with a community, like that. You know? And then increasing the intensity, like that. So that's about all I can think of. So any comments or questions, complaints, ideas?
Jai Maharaj, thank you for the class. I'd like to ask a question and then kind of a request. The question... you were talking about bhava. When one comes to that stage of bhava, then we're sort of insulated from maya. I was wondering, maybe there's different stages of bhava, because we read that, you also mentioned Mahabharata. When Mahabharata was in his meditation and worshiping his deity and so on, he was at the level of bhava, but yet still somehow he fell from that position, because he became attached to the deer. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that. And then my request, you hit a kind of a transcendental nerve. Is that a train going by? Sounds like a train.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just about 200 feet away from our house here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then my request is, you mentioned Jayananda, and Jayananda was the Bhakta program. We just celebrated Jayananda's disappearance days. We were talking about him. I was wondering if you had some Jayananda nectar you could share with us about when you joined and how he was an inspiration to you. Always like to hear Jayananda Nectar.
Okay, so I'm looking first off for, I got my database open here. Affection toward the deer increased. Last, thinking how helpless, even denounced order of life. But it's in the fifth canto, eighth chapter. Even though one is in the renounced order of life, one who has advanced certainly feels compassion. One should certainly know, he's making this comment. He was lying down with a deer, he was scratching his throat. He would not think of the deer, blah, blah, blah. Alas, I do not know. Alas, the deer is what it's a prince. After speaking like a madman, he went outside. I have it in my notes. Let's see. Where it says he accidentally fell down. The actual text?
No, I know it's Prabhupada mentions because of his neglect of the order of the spiritual master.
Yeah.
And it's somewhere it's mentioned that he was on the level of in the bhava stage.
Okay.
I'm just thinking maybe there's bhava, maybe there's different stages where bhava matures and becomes more rich in a certain stage of bhava. That's where Maya can't get you. I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, I can find it. Okay. I'm clicking on Word. Okay. Opening up my index. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. It's very important, I think, that everybody, should develop their own index, especially if you're preaching like that, and where to find certain things like that. Okay, so here I have it under the topic of, I think, the origin of the jiva.
Hmm.
So I go, click, okay, origin of the jiva, Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.8.7. I have it. 5.8.7. Goes back. That's not it. Oh, yeah, 5.8.8. That's what I have. So many times. I'm looking down the wrong place. I looked in one place. 5.8.8. Tashyaha va enukunaka uchair. Gradually, Maharaj Bharata became very affectionate towards the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from attacks of tiger and other animals. When it itched, he petted it. In this way, he always tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to the deer, Maharaj Bharata forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of the spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual so-and-so. So this we can understand, we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe the 10 Mangala Arshi, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, follow the rules and regulations prescribed by the Acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we will fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. And of course, Bhagavad Gita, the acts of charity and sacrifice should never be given up. And as an advanced order, he should never give up regular principles. He should worship the deity, give his time and life to the service of Krishna. Like that, one should not think oneself very advanced simply because he has accepted the sannyas orders. The activities of Maharaj Bharata should be carefully studied to one's spiritual advancement. So it's not this text. I can't find it right away. I have to probably look at my notes again. But basically what it says, in the text it says that he accidentally, because of his previous karma, he fell off on the platform of devotional service. So So in the purport, Prabhupada directly says, no, on the platform
yeah,
of Bhava,
remember that.
It's not possible. He fell down because he consciously, you know, neglected Krishna's service like that. So that's my point, is that at any point from the nectar of instruction, Prabhupada says, one can fall from the platform of Paramahamsa if he becomes envious of others. So that's a subtle point, because I think Prabhupada's using the word fall down in two ways. You know, one is just this, we have free will, and therefore we can make that choice.
Mm.
You know? If we didn't have free will, then okay, we're in Vaikuntha Prabhu, we're experiencing so much bliss, how can we possibly fall down? Well, we're not. They have no free will. You're like a heroin addict. You're addicted to your drug. Whether you're serving Krishna out of fear of pain, or you're serving Krishna out of addiction to pleasure, you know, selfish pleasure. Either case, you have no free will. When we hear this, we become frightened. Raga Baya Krodha. You know, I'm responsible. Yes. You know. But Radharani is always there to give us a little hand. That's a thing like that. You know, with our free will. You know. But basically, yeah, we're as good as Krishna. This actually answers, but yes, it's very frightening. But that's why Krishna really has interest in us. He's not just pretending. We're a little kid, but we can do stuff that's really, really charming, really amazing. So that's my understanding at the platform of Bhava in general. Like we're saying, yeah, then Bhava is Maya is there, and there's no possibility. You know? But, you know, because it's called, you know, a stage of development, then yeah, there must be different stages and things like that. But pretty much, as far as I understand, it's not a matter. It's like, you know, Gopal Kumar, he's in Vaikuntha. Again, as far as I understand, verse says that the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu, comprehensions of the Purusha avatar is still materially contaminated, sod and chit. And only when you come to realizing Krishna as Karanadaksha Vishnu, everything is coming from him, and you engage in, you know, Shantaras, are you actually fixed in the spiritual platform. But then after that, by worshipping Purusha avatars, you can advance to Lila avatars. By worshipping Lila avatars, you can advance to Sankarsham. And by worshipping Sankarsham, you can advance to, you know, Dwarka, Mathura, you know, Balaram, like that. So even as that's what I think that Bhava is this platform of intensification, but Maya is not there, you know. So there's no accidental fall down from the platform of Bhava.
Mm. Good answer.
But yeah.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Okay.
Just like Arjuna, his bewilderment was. The arrangement of Lord Krishna so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken was Bharata Maharaj's falling away and becoming attached to the deer. Was that actually Lord Krishna's arrangement also in order to provide this example for the Srimad Bhagavatam? Or did it... I don't know. It wasn't really Krishna's arrangement, because we read that everything is Krishna's arrangement. So, like, he was not following orders of a spiritual master and became attached to the deer, but was that somehow or another still Krishna's arrangement?
No, sometimes it's like, again, you know, if you won't stay in the house and you want to be independent, have your own house and this kind of stuff, then your parents make an arrangement for you, you know. But they don't like it, because now you're out there alone at college, you know, young girl by yourself. Hey, this is not a good thing, you know. You know. So, but they make an arrangement for you, you know. And so but if you want to stay in a nice environment and like that and stuff, then they make an arrangement also. So, you know, Krishna has different arrangements, and yeah, everything is Krishna's arrangement, but one of them is the external arrangement. You know, Bhumirapanalo Bayu Kamana Boyevacha. Iti bina prakatir ashtada. So that's the solution, is that, you know, it's Krishna's arranged, but it's not his direct arrangement. It's not his, like, personal, you know, shelter in the house. It's his impersonal shelter by paying the rent on the place. And you know, having the landlord and people and the police watch over you and stuff like that. And then specifically whether, you know, Arjuna's thing, I heard Prabhupada said that Arjuna forgot who Krishna was by Krishna's arrangement, but he never ceased to love Krishna. You know? So sometimes we experience the same thing. We're agitated, we're going on like this and that. We know, it's just I'm angry at Krishna and stuff, but it's not in my heart. It's just, you know, it's just like, yeah, agitation externally, and you know, maybe part of my getting something straightened out, and Krishna allows me to vent my stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, I never, I don't remember reading like that it was an internal pastime. When Vyasadeva was confused and produced all the Vedas and everything else, which misdirected people in many ways, then Narada Muni came and set him straight. But Prabhupada says, hey, he doesn't need a guru, he's God. You know, he's plenary expansion of God. So then therefore, no, obviously then Vyasadeva wasn't in Maya, but externally he was, you know, manifesting it like that. So I don't know how many, you know, sometimes I think it says that by Krishna's arrangement, people are confused by the internal potency. So pastime can go on, like Mother Yashoda, you know. But here in this particular story, I don't know if he actually was a jiva soul in Maya achieving perfection, and he had a little bump along the way, or if it was Krishna, you know, did something with the internal potency to put an example for us. So I don't know. I haven't read any place where it describes him other than being a jiva soul like coming out of Maya.
And it doesn't make the lesson any less significant, whether it was Krishna's arrangement or not Krishna's arrangement.
No.
Because in either case, the lesson is a perfect lesson for us. So it's not really critical.
Be careful of pets.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
When you start kissing your cat, you know you've gone too far.
Gross.
Snooky-ooky.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
You were mentioning, Maharaj, about the comparison or similarities about Bhishma Dev's or the description in that section regarding the Astanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga.
Yes, uh-huh.
So when I had a chance to speak on one of the verses, we did that comparison, and what happened was, I showed that how it is. We have everything in Bhakti Yoga, and they have it more on a material level, all the stages,
yeah.
Where ours is transcendental. So what I was going to say was, I took that Bhagavatam class, I was invited at a yoga studio, and they obviously do Ashtanga Yoga, and they wanted to see a different kind of yoga because they don't know what is Bhakti Yoga or how practical it is. So then I started showing them, because after they're doing their exercise, they thought that it might be a bit boring to be just sitting and listening to philosophy. So I said, no, you can't sit down, but you need to continue. We're going to show you some steps of Bhakti Yoga. So I showed them Swami step and Gora step. And I said, the rule is no smiling or laughing. So obviously they had so much fun. They didn't realize how Bhakti Yoga could be so much fun, because we ended up having kirtan with primary names of Ram. And then afterwards I showed them the difference. I made it into PowerPoint, that same class from Bhagavatam, made it into PowerPoint, and they were glued, you know, to see that the difference between the two yoga and how it actually involves the soul, whereas they are doing it on more like material platform.
Yeah.
So I just
sometimes,
thought,
yeah, no, it's very nice. Thank you. The point is that our process is sublime. Sublime means that something goes from a gross stage to a subtle stage with no perceivable steps in between. For example, dry ice is frozen carbon dioxide, and it goes directly from the solid stage to the gas stage. So it's considered in chemistry a sublime state change. So if people are ready, if they can get that taste, you mentioned that, right? You know, from with devotees, like associating with devotee and getting a little kirtan chanting, hearing, if they're fortunate enough to get that taste, then, you know, they can go through all the other steps very quickly, because now they have the lighthouse. Oh, this is where I'm going, you know? And so, yeah, like you say, then you can do Astanga Yoga, you can do Yama, Niyama, stop smoking, get up. You can do asana, but you can do the asanas, you know, with this whole purpose of, you know, purifying your body for Krishna consciousness, you know, for serving Krishna, like that. Yeah, but you know, that's it. Yeah, people are, but if they aren't ready like that and they can't take to it, okay, then, you know, engage them in pious activities, engage them in Astanga Yoga, engage them in philosophical direction, like that. And, you know, that's tough luck. That'll be a slower process. But it was also asked about Jayananda. My gosh. You know, when I joined the temple, I came there. I got a Krishna book. I think Buddhimanta sold it to me. I was at the campus at UC Davis, University of California, Davis. I read it for 1 year. You know, really yoga. I was doing yoga and stuff, so I was really reading it very seriously. And I realized many things. You know. So I started visiting the temple finally. And then one day when I was there, like, I would come from Sacramento, so it was like about a 45, hour and a half drive. And, you know, my good wife wasn't exactly taken to Krishna consciousness the same way I was. And so many, many, you know, conflicts, confusions. So then I would go there, and one day I was there for lunch. I think it was a weekday. And this guy came in and sat next to me, and, you know, he had some working type clothes on. And he had a rope for a belt. And he said, "Hi, how are you?" You know, sat down. Very amiable, friendly kind of guy. "Where are you from? What are you doing?" "Oh, you're from Sacramento. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to have a big festival. It's called Rath Yatra. You know? And I usually go up there and put all these posters up. And maybe you can do it for me this year. I can't get a chance to get up here. I'll give you a couple." You know, okay, you know. So I was Jayananda. And next thing I know, I had about, like, you know, 5,000 posters or something like that. And a 25-page list of different health food stores and everything else, you know. So that was Jayananda, my experience. It's one thing after another. He was just very amiable, and you just felt like he was just like the most simple, humble guy you could talk to, and, you know, friendly. And then he would just get you engaged according to your ability. You couldn't go away with Jayananda. As soon as you got there, you'd be engaged in devotional service. So as far as I can understand, he was somebody who came from the spiritual world, you know, my experiences in dealing with him. It may be an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj, which is interesting, humility personified. And his disappearance day was, you know, anniversaries right before Nisringadev's appearance day. Yeah. But so many pastimes, activities like that, you know. I think of one. It was a guy in San Francisco in the produce market. Of course, San Francisco is one of the biggest industries there is tourism. There's so many restaurants and stuff like that and schools. So the San Francisco produce market is like a city all by itself. You know? So the biggest seller of bananas was this guy named Banana King Louie. You know? And he was really like, you know, behind his desk, he had this like, you know, picture of his bust, himself and his shoulders, and very regal pose. And under it said, "Do not ask what Banana King Louis can do for you, but ask what you can do for Banana King Louis." So Jayananda went there and convinced Louis to give a donation of bananas to the Hare Krishnas, you know. The news spread all over the produce market. Everybody just couldn't believe this. They were all talking about it and laughing about it. You know, Louis gave a donation to the Hare Krishnas. You know, So it went on every year, you know. And then Jayananda left his body, leukemia. And so the devotees went, and they said, "Oh, yeah, Mr. Louis, we're having our festival, and you've always been able to give us bananas." And they said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, Hare Krishnas. Okay, here's a note. Pick up 20 cases, you know." He said, "But where's Jay?" You know? And the devotee said, "Well, you know, he had some leukemia and left his body." You know? So Banana King Louie, sort of crying, this is such a nice person, you know, like that. So even though externally he may not have known the philosophy, the jnana, the everything else, he had this taste, you know, of the whole thing. And that may have been sufficient just to straighten the whole thing out. When it heats on at the time of death, there's a little association with someone, Jayananda, which touched the heart. May have been sufficient just to go right back to Godhead. If not, probably would have been, you know, sufficient to take a proper body to be in a proper situation to understand.
Can I add some to that? Prabhupada practically canonized Jayananda.
Yeah, he said he's put his name on the calendar.
He's the only disciple that he did that with. Vyasaki's book convinced me that Vishnujanaswami and Jayananda more or less set the tone for the entire movement. And Jayananda, he was engaged 24/7 in service, usually the first one up, the last one down, famous for the Rath Yatras. You cannot fake that. You cannot fake 24/7 devotional service. That cannot be faked. I also heard a class he gave in San Diego. I wish I had the tape. It just slipped from my hands. And although he didn't quote a lot of verses, maybe, but he had such a working relationship with devotional service that his class was more powerful than most all of the classes I had heard up to that point.
Yeah. Was it about association?
No, it was about devotional service. He was the kind of person, when Prabhupada would come to L.A., Prabhupada would have to send somebody to go look for him because he was so engaged in service. And other devotees, they were just trying to get on the morning walks with Prabhupada, and Jayananda, he had to be sent for.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes he would fall asleep when Prabhupada's room with the devotees, and he was working so hard. And Prabhupada would say, no, let him sleep. Let him sleep. It's okay. So he would be snoring during Prabhupada's darshans. Yeah. So, and also, too, Haridas Thakur, no? Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya, he said, don't make an illusion. I don't want to hang around to see your disappearance pastimes like that, you know? So let me go before you go. So Haridas Thakur, again, also Prahlad Maharaj. You know? So maybe Jayananda, the same thing, appreciating Prabhupada's leaving, and so let me... let me go before you do, Prabhupada.
There's one last thing. A neurophysicist, educated man, asked Srila Shiromarish one day if the safe position in devotional service was nishta, you know, being fixed. And Srila Shiromarish's response was, nishta, nothing. He said, the safe position is Sarup City.
Yeah, yeah.
When you attain your svarup, your eternal form, that's the safe position.
Die.
There's no turning back from there. But okay. Anything can happen up to that point. And Bharat Maharaj's story, I mean, it's just one of the most beautiful illustrations of reincarnation and someone who's attained such a high elevated consciousness, he's going into samadhi and he's still not done, and then he just a little slip and he had to take that deer body, but even in the deer form he's practicing austerities to get to Judd Barrett, and he took no chances there.
So he remembered Krishna. Even if you intentionally make a mistake, Krishna doesn't forget,
right?
So any final comments here, questions, complaints?
Maharaj, I know it is late, but I did want to ask two things if it's possible. By the way, I wanted to say that the definition you gave of sublime is the best definition I've ever heard. With the dry ice, that's wonderful.
It's because you're a chemist, probably.
No, not at all. We were just talking about Jayananda. That was wonderful pastimes that you're relating. And that relates to the question I was going to ask, because Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he's stressing that hearing is the most important of the nine processes. All of them, or any one of them, you can become perfect. And with Jayananda, you know, you would imagine, I guess it would be either serving the lotus feet or executing the orders, you know, service. But I've seen several devotees that have cited Jayananda. And they say that, well, Jayananda, he was, you know, great, great devotee. And, you know, they were really attached to him. But they kind of just concentrate on doing service to the neglect of hearing and chanting. You know, just forget it. You know, I'm going to become perfect like Jayananda. But actually, you look at their character, and it's a little bit questionable. Although Jayananda, I say, you know, my goodness, to the neglect of hearing and chanting, he was perfect. But I've seen others that kind of like try and follow in his footsteps. It was more like an excuse.
My
feeling. So my question is this, you know, since Srila Prabhupada in so many places is stressing that hearing is the process is the most important, wouldn't it be safer to neglect the other processes and make hearing the most the thing that you're going to spend the most time and energy in?
Well, there's one citation where Prabhupada says if we engage in the regular principles of hearing and chanting and don't preach, eventually we'll start preaching. He says if we preach but neglect the regular principles of hearing and chanting, then eventually we'll lose the preaching. So I think that's the point. Yeah. But at that point, for example, Jayananda would work at the produce market. He would get all these donations and stuff and come back, put them away. And he would come into my treasury room, you know. And if he went with him, he had to go out during Mangal Arati. He always takes somebody with him. And then he'd do the whole Gurbhastakam while he was driving and stuff like that, you know. So the whole, you know, morning program was there. Then he'd come back and he would sit in my office and say, let's read a little bit, Hanuma, you know. And so I noticed this is Raganuga. In Raganuga, you can adjust everything according to the taste, you know. So he had every morning he would read Prabhupada's books. Every day he'd have the kirtan, he would have everything. So and his rounds were done. So I eventually began to realize he was doing the full morning program every day, no matter what. You know? But he was intelligent enough to be able to adjust it in terms of chanting in the truck with full concentration, reading with a devotee afterwards like that. So that's why someone like him, you know, never was, what's the word? A sannyasi is supposed to be, you know, or a Brahmin, setting an example that the neophyte can follow, like that, you know. That's why I didn't want to take sannyas, because it's just formality. You know, you have to, you know, do everything so formal. I would love to wear shorts and play a harmonica. Like that. But of course, I never play a harmonica. Like that. But he can't do that as a sannyasi so much because, oh, you've got to dress properly, you've got to act properly, you've got to be in all the classes. And then people see, well, he's the, you know, the formal example. So like that, Jayananda, he never was like, you know, touted as like an example for neophytes in that sense. So, but yeah, he was. It was all there. His hearing and chanting was beyond, you know, most people's like that. And yes, I would agree with the citations are there that actually what I have again the Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada says that of all the services in the Sankirtan movement, and he says there are many, you know, chanting 16 nice rounds is the most essential, like that, you know. So yeah, let's say it's, but we shouldn't use it as an excuse that I'm hearing. Prabhupada says no sleeping in the name of hearing and chanting. So I'm thinking about something else, or, you know, no. There should be, the results should be there. That from hearing, then we should get some good Sankirtan results then.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That really clears up a lot of things, because I don't know a whole lot about Jayananda, but what you just said made a lot of sense. You know, because, for instance, the devotees I was referring to, instead of they didn't reject hearing and chanting, you know, when they're working, they're listening to Rush Limbaugh or something on the radio. So I'm sure Jayananda do that.
No, we always, the atmosphere is always like kirtan tapes playing and always chanting, you know, kirtan, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He was,
again,
getting a
too,
lot.
We, yeah.
he was given a lot of the devotees that were kind of washed out, that were a problem, or, you know, they didn't fit in any other way, and he would build wrath carts with them, get them hollow at 10 o'clock at night to keep them going.
Yeah. So that was a mission. Anybody, even my people were like nasty people. He would like get them engaged somehow or other, like doing something, you know, indirectly, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
I just put a link on it's from Hawaii about Jayananda. It's called Jayananda Nugas. It's a tribute to Jayananda Thakur.
Oh, yeah.
He has a lot of pastimes. Yeah, by
Ashok.
If anybody wants to get more information about it, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I guess I should get going now because 1:45 here, and I'm gonna pack up a little bit and try and get back to my something here. I don't know. My schedule with Bhakti by Baba.
Maharaj, you going to Mexico Ratra Yatra or Guadalajara?
No, it's in Mexico City. Yeah, we're gonna go there. Yeah, and it's really incredible because Jagannath fits into Mexico so much. And the way Lord Jagannath dresses and stuff, he's really got a Mexican humor. I think he loves tamales, and frijoles. It's a really nice festival, right? The Yatra festival. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay.
We'll have to let you go then.
Okay.
After class, I just need to talk to you for a moment. So I'll ring you right up this so you have time to talk.
Okay. Thank you all very much for your association. All wonderful questions, and, hope to see you in the pasture.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Ji jai.
Ji jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Hari
Bol.
Hari Krishna. Hari Bol.